Welcome to Shiar Jashub, coming from Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Today, we will continue the introductory sermon in Pastor's new series on the Book of Romans.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets and the Old Testament writings. And if you read a word in the book of Romans, if you hear a concept in the book of Romans, and you start to interpret it in your mind, you know, from American Christianity, be it with more influence from the Roman Catholic Church or from the Swiss Reformation, if that word brings up images that you've heard from, you know, either camp or other camps, rather than bringing up what that word and concept means in the light of the Jewish Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there's a problem. I mean, the word election, chosen. That's a very specific word in the Old Testament when you speak about the chosen people. And if when you say the word chosen or elect, right away you think of Calvin before you think of Moses, there's a problem. Because you might misunderstand it depending upon how accurate Calvin was or not, but Moses was not inaccurate. The words have meaning in the context of this Jewish Bible, Old and New Testament. This is the promise, he says, that God gave to our forefathers. This is a Jewish hope, King Agrippa. Another key to understanding the book of Romans is to understand the background of the church at Rome. Who are these believers that Paul is writing to, which we're going to attempt to look at in the time we have left today? Now, some of you hearing this might find it boring because we're going to talk about a little history. But it's very important to know the recipient of the letter to understand what Paul is trying to accomplish. So there's different tones in Paul's letters. There's a different tone in Thessalonians than in Romans. There's a different tone in the 1st and 2nd Corinthians than 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and Romans. There's a different tone when he writes to Timothy, when he writes to Titus. Why? There's a different audience, a different need that he has to meet, a different problem he has to address. Different positions as they are in the Lord, who's faithful unto the Lord, who's introducing all types of problems into the church. Well, you need to know who these people are that he's writing to. And if you find history boring, maybe this is a good time to close your eyes and rest for a while because we're going to go through some history. Rome was not a church which was founded by Paul. We have his missionary journeys. We know all the churches he did found, but it was not founded by Paul. Rather, Paul was well known at Rome because of his work among the Gentiles. And he wrote the letter in part in anticipation of finally being able to visit them in person. He had not visited Rome. At least he had not visited Rome as a saved apostle. We don't know maybe when he was a child. But he had not visited Rome as a saved adult. And he didn't found the church there, but they know of him. We're going to see he has friends there. And he's anticipating going to Rome in person. And when you think of Rome, you have to remember it's the center of the empire. It's the capital of the Roman Empire. What a place to be able to impact so many for Christ. If you think of key cities today, New York City, you know, London, Jerusalem today, places central to what goes on in the world. Rome was the center of the human world. Humanly speaking, we know Jerusalem in God's sight is the center of the world, but humanly speaking, the center of commerce, the center of the civilization of that day, the center of power, the center of traffic, of people going to and fro that could spread out the word to the farthest reaches was Rome. So what a place for Paul to try to impact. Let's go a little further back before this letter. There was a Jewish colony that existed in Rome as early as the 2nd century BC before Christ. The 2nd century BC, 200 BC, 100 B.C. And that's probably, as you know, from the dispersion. You have the dispersion to Assyria in 722 B.C. You have the dispersion by the Babylonians between 597 to 581 B.C. And you have Jewish settlements that come out of that, and immigrants all over the known world, Jewish camps, Jewish colonies, that over time then would migrate out. And by the second century B.C., some had migrated to Italy, and they gained a very strong foothold in Italy. A Jewish philosopher of Alexandria, who lived from 30 B.C. to 45 A.D., so his life spanned, in the middle of his life would have been around the time that Jesus was born. He estimated that you had a community of about 1 million Jews over in Alexandria, about 1 million Jews both over in Persia and in Asia Minor. That's where Paul does his missionary. That's modern-day Turkey. That's where we have Ephesus and all the churches, the seven churches, the book of Revelation in Asia Minor. You have about 100,000 in Cyrenaica, that's Cyrene, northern Africa, an important Greek colony. And then you have another 100,000, he says, over in Italy. So you had a significant population that had immigrated there and settled and had a strong foothold in Italy. Matter of fact, by the time that this gentleman's writing, there are more Jews dispersed outside of Palestine than in Palestine. More colonies of Jews outside than in. And at different times, there are attempts to expel the Jews from this capital, from Rome. One such expulsion is recorded in 139 B.C. So you know the Jews had to be settled in Italy at least before 139 B.C. And so we know at least by the second century B.C., there was a strong Jewish colony. The number of Jews in Rome greatly increased by 63 B.C. Now, you know, when you hear the letter of the Romans, you may think, well, Romans, Gentile, this letter is being written to Gentiles. That's why it's important to get a background on this church. By 63 B.C., before Christ, Judea becomes incorporated as part of the Roman Empire. And at that point, remember all the traffic going to Rome, the number of Jews increase even more. Many Jews will migrate into Rome because from Judea because now they're part of the Roman Empire. Cicero, the Roman statesman, the Roman author, in 59 B.C., so 59 years approximately before Jesus was born, depending on when you set the birth date of Jesus as 1 or 2 B.C. or 4 B.C., but 59 B.C., he represented that the Jewish community in Rome was large, clannish, powerful, and influential. The city authorities that I mentioned from time to time would try to evict masses of whoever they considered to be undesirable immigrants as Rome was being flooded with all different types of people. And you get an image very similar to New York City. You know, a lot of people coming in from all over the empire. And as I said, the Jewish community sometimes drew their attention. I talked about the expulsion in 139 B.C. Well, in 19 A.D., Jesus would be a young man at this point. In 19 A.D., when Tiberius was emperor, there was a large-scale expulsion of Jews from Rome because of a financial scandal. And the historian, you all know the historian Josephus, records that expulsion by Tiberius. But in a decade or two, the Jews were back, and they were back in larger numbers than ever. Claudius, the Emperor Claudius, at the beginning of his reign in 41 AD, took some steps at the beginning to restrict the Jews in Rome, though other sources say initially he was favorable to the Jews. But it's historically clear that he became unfavorable to them. And he then first forbade them to assemble, and eventually he resorted to the more drastic course of expulsion, commanding all the Jews to depart from Rome. And this is probably around 49-50 A.D. So you're talking after the death of Jesus, you're into the book of Acts. Matter of fact, this is recorded in the book of Acts. If you look in the book of Acts, chapter 18. The book of Acts, chapter 18. I'll read from verse 1. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens. So that's Athens is where he gives the sermon on the, let me tell you about the unknown God. Okay. And he went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila. Now you'll hear different pronunciations of his name. Aquila, Aquila, or Aquila. Aquila, born in Pontus. Pontus is in an Asiatic province, who had recently come from Italy. So he's a Jew. He's born in Asia Minor, but then he goes, lives in Rome, as many of the Jews were doing. They were moving to Rome. It's the center of commerce. This is where you make your name known in Rome, right? He had recently come from Italy. Why? With his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded, the Emperor Claudius, had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. So here you have the Bible, Luke, accurate historian, recording what's known from many other historical documents, that Claudius expelled the Jews around 49-50 AD, and he came to them. So Paul comes to Aquila and Priscilla. Verse 3, so because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Aquila and Priscilla are tent makers like Paul. He stays with them. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So they become associates, Aquila and Priscilla, who are Jews. At least he's a Jew. Some contest that maybe she's not a Jew, but we're told here in the scriptures, Aquila was a Jew from Italy, not born in Italy, but living in Italy, had now been cast out because of Claudius, and that's where Paul meets them, him and his wife, at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19, we read that Aquila and Priscilla travel with Paul to Ephesus then. He goes back to Asia Minor from Corinth, and they go with him to Ephesus, as far as Ephesus, I should say. Paul keeps on going. And then in Acts chapter 18, verse 24 to 26, that's where they meet another Jew, Apollos, and that's where they explain to him the way of the Lord more accurately. And it seems that they have a house church there in Asia Minor. So they're believers, they're Jews, but like Paul and like Apollos, they're Jewish believers in Jesus, and they had come from Rome. The expulsion under Claudius was no more durable or successful than the expulsion under Tiberius early on. And the edict was probably allowed just to lapse out. It got ignored, and it was allowed to lapse for Claudius' death in AD 54. A few years later, the Jewish colony in Rome, again, was as flourishing as ever. They come back in, they have property there. And it included that Jewish colony, that Jewish community in Rome that was growing and prospering, included many Jewish believers in Jesus.
On our website at shiarjashub.org, you will find hundreds of Bible study programs, information about our church, and a link to the Sunday morning live stream on YouTube. Please join us next time for Shiar Jashub.